You are listening to Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.
Hi, my name is Andrew. This is my wife, Carrie. I talked her into speaking with us today, and I am excited about that. You want to hear this lady. I'm always honored to sit on the stage with my wife because she is a fountain of great wisdom. We're going to continue our series called Dream Bigger, and we've been talking about dreaming and God's dreams, not the kind of dreams that you have when you sleep, but the kind of dreams that God has for your life. And we've talked about how we're the ones that receive the dreams. God is the dream giver. We are responsible to actually respond to him. And there's a process that he's taking us through as we walk with the Lord of building our faith through trials, through challenges, through all the things that we go through in life. And we're going to finish the series actually today and talk to you about dreaming God's dream for your life. But before we start, I just want to first of all just say to you this morning, you made a good choice to be in church today. Okay, I just want you to kind of open your heart. Just take a second. Just say, Lord, would you speak to me? You know, you're here because you want. Well, I don't know why you're here, right? I mean, maybe you were here to visit, to watch somebody be baptized this morning. Maybe you're here because you got invited. Maybe you're here because it's tradition for you, it's normal for you to come on Sunday. I'm not sure why you're here this morning. Maybe you're looking for a good woman or a good man. I don't know. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of reasons. There's all kinds of reasons that we come to church on any given Sunday.
Raise your hands. No, we'll pair them up. Get them all paired up.
We'll pair you up later on. I just want to tell you that right now, you just make a decision in your heart that I'm going to hear from the Lord. Okay, that the Lord is here to meet with you, each one of us. He's here to meet with us. He's here to talk to us. And so you made a good decision to be here today because God is speaking today to his people. Jesus said, whoever hungers and thirsts for righteousness, they're going to be filled, right? And so if you're hungry for him today, then he's going to speak to you today. He's going to give you what you need this morning. And I know that he's here in the house. Listen, I send out an email almost weekly, probably usually weekly, but I know that there's a few of you here, just a very small percentage, maybe one or two, that don't read my emails. Do you read my emails?
Every one of
them. Uh-huh. Yeah, I know that because 50% of the people on stage don't read my emails. And I just want to note to you, if you're in healthcare or if you are in school and you need some information to support some resources regarding the vaccine mandate, I put up a webpage that has some good helps there. And it's on our site. You can just go right to our homepage, kcehanford.com, and it'll give you a link there, and it'll give you some good details and information if you're seeking a religious exemption, and hopefully that will be of use to you. Okay. Dreaming. God has a dream for your life. God actually wants to invite you and me into a relationship with him where we are together walking with him and fulfilling the things that he has for us. He's the dream giver. He's the destiny giver. He's the one that has a vision and a purpose for every single person that's here in the house. And he wants us to understand how we can actually live that out day by day. And so I want you to turn in your Bible, if you would, to Genesis chapter 32, and we're going to look at a section of Scripture, and I'm going to read it to you. If you want to take notes, I encourage you to do that. They're always on the Bible app. If you have that, if you don't have it, you need to get on your phone. Under the events section, you can pull up, it'll say Koinonia Church, and our notes for today, which has all the notes and all the references that we're going to look at. And I want you to know this, that God is looking for people who want to dream together with him. God is looking for people who want to dream together. Somebody say together.
Together.
Together. God is not interested in robots who are remote controlled by him. God has actually created you and me with his image. He's imprinted and stamped his image on us. And part of his image is creativity. It's the ability to decide what direction to go. And he wants you and me to worship him freely. He wants you and me to follow him because we want to follow him, not because we have to follow him. He's looking for people who he can partner with because he wants a relationship with you. He wants actually to know you, and he wants you to know him. And so when we talk about God's vision for our life, when we talk about the things that he wants to do in our life, we're not just talking about just a one-way thing, like he's just downloading it to us and we're just receiving it and then we go on like robots. No, it's a two-way process that he's inviting us into. Look at Genesis chapter 32, starting in verse 22. This is the story, part of the story of Jacob, one of the fathers of the faith that we find in the Old Testament. And Jacob for years had run from God, and he was really kind of doing his own thing. But he met God one evening, and we pick that up in verse 22. It says, "That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, 'Let me go, for it is daybreak.' But Jacob replied, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.'" Verse 27, "The man asked him, 'What is your name?' 'Jacob,' he answered. Then the man said, 'Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome.' Jacob said, 'Please tell me your name.' But he replied, 'Why do you ask my name?' Then he blessed him there." So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared."
So this passage is huge. And anytime we share a passage, we want to make sure that we capture the depth and the essence of it. First of all, I would just like to say thank you for only having one wife, not two. I don't know if I'm more thankful or you're more thankful.
Probably, one wife's enough for me.
Probably two. But so Jacob is this smart, smart man who his whole life has been getting what he needed by his own means. And so finally he's left alone. We see he's alone. He's shipped everyone across the river for reasons that we won't go into right now. But so he's alone. And so this man approaches and begins to wrestle with him all night till daybreak. And a few key points, one of the things that jumped out is when God, this angel that was wrestling with Jacob, he asked him, "What is your name?" And Jacob is confronted at this moment with having to acknowledge the identity that he has lived under up until this moment. He has to come to terms with who he's been, how he's acted, and he says, "My name is Jacob." And it actually means deceiver, usurper, heel grabber. He was the second twin, and he came out grabbing on the firstborns, and then he began to take all his rights from there. And so he had to acknowledge that he was coming to God in this broken state. And God says, "That's not your name anymore. Your name is now Israel." And Israel means God rules, God fights. We're in this together. So at that moment, he transitions and shifts Jacob's identity from what it had been, how he had been surviving, to now imparting this new partnership and life to him. And so we see that transaction and what God has for him. And then one of the amazing things with it, that it was not just in the spiritual realm, it was also in the physical realm. Jacob walked away with a limp. His life and his physical body was changed at that moment. And it's just this parallel of the way that he was living life, shifting from striving and obtaining what he wanted and needed on his own abilities to faith and partnership with Christ. And so his self-sufficiency was crippled so that his reliance upon God would increase. And it's in this wrestling and this closeness with God that our lives are actually transformed to a point that gets us to a dream capacity.
Yeah. Have you ever wrestled with God? Maybe not physically wrestled with him, but wrestled with what he wants you to do. You know, maybe he speaks something to you, speaks something, a vision, a purpose into your heart. Maybe he says, you know, you need to say something, you need to apologize for something, you need to encourage someone, you need to take a step of faith, you need to take a step out. And oftentimes our response is, I don't know about that, Lord. I don't know if I want to do that. And we begin to wrestle with him, wrestle with that thing that he wants to give us, that thing that really is speaks of purpose and destiny in our lives. And that wrestling is something that God has invited us into. That wrestling is something that we all have to actually engage in if we want to see God's purposes in our life, because it's through that wrestling that we receive transformation, just as Jacob did. It's through that wrestling that you come face to face with who you are, like, you know, who you really are. And then you come face to face with who God wants you to be. The angel says to him, "What's your name?" "Jacob." And then he says, "Not anymore. Now your name's Israel." And so there's this exchange that goes on even as we are willing to wrestle with God in terms of the dream, the vision, the purpose that he has for us in our lives. He's looking for people that are willing to engage in that process. And that process is a God part and a us part. It has, the process of wrestling with God involves both of us. It's not just it's God's responsibility or it's just our responsibility. This is something that we're doing together with God. And so we just want to, for the next few minutes, let's talk to you about dreaming together. How do we do this, and how do we allow God and invite him to speak into us and respond to him when he does as we dream together his dreams? And when we're talking about dreams, I just want you to know we're not just talking about like one big dream for your life, because there are many different kinds of dreams and visions that God has for our lives, in each of our lives. I mean, I have a dream for my marriage. I have a dream for my kids and how the relationship is going to be, what their lives are going to be like. I have a dream for this church, and I have a dream for the way that I'm going to live my life. You know, so there's all kinds of dreams. You hopefully have a dream maybe for your marriage or for a future, your future spouse, if you're waiting for a spouse. And you have a dream for the way that you're going to be, you know, grow in your education or grow at work and maybe get, there's all kinds of, God wants to speak in a lot of different ways in our lives. And I just want to invite you, even right now, just to say to the Lord as we roll into this, just say, you know, Lord, would you help me to dream? Would you help me to understand what you want to do in each of the areas of my life? There's a lot of different ways that God wants to move in our lives. He doesn't just move a church, right? He doesn't just move in the way he wants every area of our life to be touched by his purpose. So we're going to look at three little pairs where we're talking about God has a part and we have a part. And the first one is this, that God's part is that God provides the dream. He's the dream giver. He's the one that gives us his purpose, but we have a part. Now, our part is that we receive or reject the dream. We choose to receive or reject it. Now, I think oftentimes we get it kind of backwards.
I have. So I think I have had moments where I have had a passion or a dream, and I will take them to God. I'm like, God, here's my dream, here's my idea, ta-da, like, what do you think, you know? And then I wait, nothing happens, and so I put it on him and then wait for him to receive or reject my dream, because the Bible says that he's going to give me all the desires of my heart. So if this is the desire of my heart, and I can back it up with scripture, and I bring it to you, then aren't you supposed to give it to me? And then he doesn't give it to me, and then I walk away like a wounded little kid, you know, licking my spanking spots. So, but the scripture that in Psalms 37:4, it says, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So that is not in, I'm going to tell God what I want, and he's going to give it to me. That is in, I have come into this wrestling, this close relationship with God, to where he is actually imprinting his desires and dreams for me upon my heart, to where then I come back and I begin to ask and dream in partnership with him for that. So it's more he provides and I accept or reject it, not I tell him and then wait for him to do it. But I would like that sometimes.
Yeah, that's a really good distinction, right? Because we find ourselves, I don't know about you, but I find myself doing that all the time. I think of something great. Oh, yeah, God, that must be from you. What do you think about that? You know, and he's like, come on, you know, come on. He's the dream giver. He's the source. He's the supplier. He's the one. His dreams are always better. His vision is always better. It's always where we want to go to begin with. So we just have to make sure we get the order correct. Now, in the Old Testament, there's a little book called the Book of Jonah, and it tells the story, which we're all familiar with, the Jonah and the big fish, or Jonah and the whale. And at the very beginning of that book, God gives Jonah a dream. He gives Jonah a vision, and then Jonah responds. I just want to read those verses to you. And it says this, one day long ago, God's word came to Jonah, Amittai's son. Up on your feet and on your way to the big city of Nineveh, preach to them. They're in a bad way, and I can't ignore it any longer. God says to Jonah, I've got a dream for you. I've got a purpose for you. I've got a calling for your life. I want you to do something for me. I'm going to send you out. I'm going to put words in your mouth. I've got something special for you. I've got destiny for you, right? And he speaks it to Jonah. And then Jonah, what does he do? Verse 3, but Jonah got up and went the other direction to Tarshish, running away from God. And Jonah wasn't so sure that he wanted God's dream for his life. He wasn't so sure that that thing that was so wonderful from God was really so wonderful for him. And he made the decision to instead run in the other direction. And the truth is that oftentimes a dream that God gives you is going to scare you a little bit. Because a dream that God gives you is going to be bigger than you. Now, I think also it's important to notice that any dream that God gives you is probably going to involve other people. Right? It wasn't just for Jonah, it was for the city of Nineveh. He said, I'm going to call you to go to this people because I have something for them. So any dream that God gives us is always going to involve, not just for us, it's usually going to involve other people as well because we are called to be a blessing. We're called to actually give. And that's the process that God has us in. So the dream that he gives us oftentimes is scary because it's beyond our capacity. It's beyond our ability. It's beyond our comfort zone, right? And so it's so big and it's so overwhelming. And oftentimes God begins to breathe it to us and we go, oh, I'm not sure. Maybe you got the wrong person here. I don't know if maybe you got the wrong number, Lord. Or did you mean to talk to somebody else about this? And we have a decision when it comes to something that God's putting in our heart of whether we're going to receive it or we're going to reject it. Are we going to believe that that's what God has for us? Or are we going to say, I'm not so sure about that. Maybe, Lord, maybe you need to speak to somebody else. And each one of us has to be willing to open ourselves to the possibility that what God has for us is bigger than what we can handle on our own. It's bigger than what we could ever hope to do on our own. We always try to wrestle it down to some size that we can manage, but the reality is that when God gives it, it's usually bigger than you. Now, the second pair of ideas here is that God's part is that he sizes the dream. We've been kind of talking about that, how he oftentimes makes the dream of a size that we're not comfortable with. He sizes the dream, and our part is that we have to carry and protect the dream. We have to actually do something with it. When we talk about God sizing the dream, we're kind of talking about how often I think God will give us, he'll give us the big picture, he'll give us the boundaries of the dream, the parameters of it, but what's so neat about oftentimes the way God works is that he doesn't tell us every detail, right? Sometimes we want every detail, but he only gives us one step or one piece or one part. Now, he'll set the boundary lines. He'll say, you know, this is kind of what I have for you. And then he gives us a lot of freedom within those boundaries to be creative with them because we're talking about dreaming together. And so he gives us this thing that's scary. He gives us this thing that is bigger than us. He gives us this thing that seems overwhelming or possible. I don't know if I can believe for that, God. And then we simply have to respond. We are responsible to then pick it up, to carry it and protect it. I want to talk to you about carrying and protect it for just a moment. We have a couple thoughts here. One is this idea of stewardship. When we talk about carrying a dream that God gives you, then you have to know that you and I, we are called to be God's stewards. Now, it's not a word that we use a lot. It's a biblical idea. A steward is someone that's responsible for someone else's things. And so if you ever house sit for anybody else, right, you're responsible for their house, hopefully keeping the plants alive, maybe keeping the animals alive, right? You got to do whatever is necessary, but you don't own the house. Someone else owns a house. You're just house sitting in the house. And so you're caring for the house for that person, and you're treating it as if it's theirs, but you're being responsible for it in a way to carry it almost as if it's yours, because you want to make sure that when they get back, the house is not only not burned down, it's actually in really good condition. And the longer you stay in the house, the more responsibility you have. Sometimes you have to do repair work. You have to maybe do some things to make it better because you're a steward. And you have to just remember, everything that we have is God's. We are simply stewards. We're responsible to carry the things that God has given us. And we act as if we own the stuff that we have. but God owns the stuff that we have. And when we begin to recognize that I'm stewarding it, then it begins to change the responsibility. I got to do the things I got to do, but God is actually the one that's responsible. He's responsible for the dream. He's responsible for the vision. He's responsible for the thing that he's given me. I've got to be faithful. I got to carry it. I got to be care for it and steward it, but I'm not responsible to make it happen.
Yeah, and the other thing that we have to be careful of there is that we need to protect the dream from the outside and from the inside. And so outside would be anytime God's going to give you a dream or impart a promise into your life, there's going to be opposition. The enemy will try and take you out, people around you, just by the nature of our kind, fleshly response. You know, you share a big dream with somebody. You're like, oh my gosh, this is where I'm going. This is going to be amazing. And people we're so good at putting holes in people. Well, how? Why? How are you going to do that? You can't do that. You don't have the resources. You know, so all of a sudden your dream is like being threatened by these outside sources. So there's always going to be opposition, but remembering that we stand on our new name. We stand on who God has called us to be and what he has promised us. And then also protection from the inside. So we have this range of voices within us that is either self-doubting, like there's no way, we minimize what we can do for God. We look at our abilities and I can't show up. I can't make that happen. So we talk ourselves out of it. Or the other side is we become too self-reliant and we take the dream and just take off running. And God's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like that wasn't the plan. So we have to make sure that our worth is not hung up on the dream, that our worth is found in our identity in Christ, but just this tension of things that will try and attack and throw us off course.
Yeah. You know, in the first service, when you were talking about protecting from the outside, it just really made me think about how when God gives you a dream and a vision, and it is big, and it is maybe something that it's like you go, what? How could I ever do that? Or that seems kind of outside the scope of my abilities. It's beyond my understanding. You know, sometimes God has planted, in some of you, right, God has planted in you a desire for maybe a higher level of education, and maybe nobody in your family has ever achieved that high level of education, or a business, and maybe you don't have any business owners in your family, that it's not your background, or owning a house. I mean, it could be all kinds of different things that God puts in you, maybe being in ministry in a way that you're not familiar with. And what we'll do oftentimes, because we're excited about the thing that God put in our heart, is we'll share it with others. But sometimes we're not very wise in sharing with others. We'll share it with people who are not dream people, who are not faith people. We'll share it with the wrong people and they'll stomp on it. You know, and oftentimes we're just not very smart when it comes to even just, especially that very beginning when God just kind of begins to breathe something into us. And you feel your faith begin to go, oh man, God, could you really do that in my life? Could you really do that for me? Could you really restore the relationships that are destroyed in my life? Could you really change the history that I have? You know, the background, the generational stuff that I got from my parents and my parents' parents and the things that have never been different. And he starts to breathe into you that you can change destiny. Like this is going to end right here and you're going to move into another direction. And so you have to be really careful who you share it with, because you want to share it with people who are faith people, people who are willing to dream with you a little bit, who actually are going to draw that out rather than stomp on it. That's part of that protecting it. You don't want to let anybody else take away from you the dream that God has given you. You don't want to let anybody else to just steal it or rob it from you. Now, you want some trusted friends that can speak into you, because sometimes we get it wrong. I mean, sometimes we think we're right-sizing the dream when we're actually maybe upsizing it or downsizing it, and we're actually doing just exactly the wrong thing. And a trusted friend can speak to us, you know, especially a friend in the faith who is faith-filled and understands how this, they can speak to us and without crushing the dream. So we have to be careful to guard the very thing that God has given us and that we're carrying. And then we have to be careful with ourselves, because many times we go, that doesn't make sense to me, Lord. And so we start to bring the size of the dream down because it doesn't make sense to us. Oh, well, I can do this. I could say maybe that's in the realm of possibility, and we just start to shrink it. Now, in all of this, we're responsible to do our part. When we're talking about carrying and stewarding, that means you have a part to play in this dream that you actually have to do something. You have to take a step. You have to say yes. If you go to the next verse, we started with Genesis chapter 32. I'm sorry, the next chapter in the story of Jacob. You go to the right to the very next chapter, you'll see that here, after Jacob wrestles with God, God gave him this new name, that Jacob really, he begins to identify and carry this new name, this new dream. And verse 18, it says, after Jacob came from Padan Aram, he arrived safely at the city of Shechem in Canaan and camped within sight of the city. For 100 pieces of silver, he bought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, the plot of ground where he pitched his tent. There he set up an altar and called it El Elohei Israel, the God of Israel. So Jacob is now, he's fully identifying with the new name, the new dream that God has given him. He's not saying, this is a place that I'm dedicating to the God of Jacob. He says, no. Now I have now engaged in this dream. I've walked away from my past identity. I've walked away from my doubts. I've walked away from my hesitancies. I'm deciding that I'm not going to let those things dictate who I am. I'm going to actually now embrace the dream that God has given me. And that's so important for us, to be able to grab a hold of the thing that God puts in our heart and not to hold it too loosely, not to let somebody else wrench it out of our hands, not to go back to the old things, not to just assume it's got to be the way. No. I'm going to hold on to what God has.
I think in this doing my part and pressing through the difficulties and the discomforts and being okay with your limp, being okay with your need for God to show up. I know we had talked about just being married and being married in ministry. Like, there is an assumption that the woman's going to show up and do the women's things and all this stuff. And, you know, in the years of our marriage, I was like, I'm not going to do the women's thing for you. He had never asked me to. But I was in a place of comfort. I liked backstage. I was comfortable not in the spotlight. I don't have eloquent words, I would say. And so but there just became this time where someone asked me, hey, will you speak? And I'm like, oh, okay. It was like a small little thing. I'm like, okay, I can do that. And then another one, and then another one. And I started getting all these things to speak. And I had this God gut prompting to be obedient and do it. And I remember standing in the kitchen with him one evening just crying, because I was like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do my part. Like, I know God wants to do big things, but I don't want to do my part. It's uncomfortable. It's painful. But just kept showing up. And then a time came where I was, you know, praying and stuff for the church. And I went back to him and I was like, hey, I think I need to lead the women's ministry. And he was like, I don't think that's a good idea. Because I was so adamant about, like, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to do it. And I was like, well, I don't think it's a good idea either. But apparently God does, because I feel like that's the ask right now. And so when we're talking about this, God sizes the dream. I think sometimes we want this big thing. Well, there's a fear. There's a balance of fear. And like, we keep talking about dreams and we think of the concept of dreaming as really simple, but it's so complex and difficult because it involves vulnerability and not knowing everything. And so in this, just seeing how God works, he doesn't just dump us into an ocean. He beckons us into a puddle. And then he's like, okay, you got that. Now here's a little kiddie swimming pool, you know, and then you can do that. And then all of a sudden, he pours out this vision for every woman, for not just our church, but for the community, and drawing people from, you know, women's shelters to every church to not churched. And it's just like, well, that's really big. And so then, you know, it gets bigger, and how do I do it? And then it's like, okay, I have to do it. So here's my strategy and my plan. You know, we're going to have this many women by this date, and we're going to grow, and I'm going to have a famous speaker, and it's going to be great. And then we just, like, everything went to online and died, and, you know, COVID. So, but reminding me that it's God's dream, you know, it's his dream. And if I just show up and say yes and do my part and let him do his part, then that's where we can kind of make kingdom work happen.
So good. Yeah, you're accountable to the next step. You're accountable to be faithful to the next thing that God gives you. You don't have to try to do it all. You can't make it happen. You just make sure that you're saying yes to the Lord at the next place, at the next step. And trust that He's going to keep leading you, and He's going to, oftentimes He'll expand the meaning of the dream. He'll show you a little bit more. But God really, He gives us just as much as we can handle usually.
Thank God.
He just shows us just enough of the picture that it's a stretch for us. We have to say yes to Him. If He showed us the whole thing, I think we would just give up. And so His grace just gives us that next piece. And if we just, we got to say yes to Him. And then we begin to carry it. And we begin to say, okay, God, I'm saying yes to You. I'm not going to let go of this thing. I'm not going to give up too easily. I'm not going to let the bump in the road stop me. I'm going to keep going. The third idea is that God's part is that He's the one that powers the dream. Right? He's the one that is the source of supply. He's the one that can make it happen. You can't make it happen. Our part, my part, is that I'm accountable to the dream. I'm accountable to the dream.
So Hudson Taylor is a man from the late 1800s, missionary in China, and knew God's faithfulness, relied on God's faithfulness. And as we were reading over his journal entry last night, I was just quickened to the season that we're in culture, in the world. Like, we were praying for Afghanistan. Like, everything is so high tension right now. And I was just kind of struck with a call to monitor and return to the source. Because we're going to solve all the problems right now. We're all going to solve the problem. Like, everybody's got their statements. But the statements that we need to be landing on are not of this world. And so I believe God is calling us to realign ourselves with His faithfulness, to remind ourselves of His faithfulness, to turn off, I think, to turn off reality TV that we are so hooked on, and to go back to and read reality testimonies of where God has been faithful and shown up, and allow that to inspire and breathe fresh Holy Spirit life into our dreams, into who He's called us to be in this time. So we're going to do that.
Yeah,
we haven't talked about it, but we're going to do it.
Yes, we're going to do it. If you've never read a Christian autobiography or a Christian biography, I want to encourage you to do that. And that's what she's talking about. She said this last night, we were talking about it. I thought that is so right on, because we feed ourselves with all this other stuff. But if you start to feed yourself the right things, it changes you. And so when we feed on junk all the time, what do you think we're going to produce? And so this living in faith, living with God's dream, living with vision, it's so much better if you actually then read about people and feed yourself people that have faith and lived the dream and lived the vision and carried it out in their lives. People like Corrie Ten Boom, who I've mentioned before, her book, The Hiding Place, which is this incredible faith journey. That Hudson Taylor, she's going to read a quote from him in just a moment. There's so many great fathers and mothers of the faith who put it on the line to live together the dream that God had given them. And when you start to feed on that, it does something inside of you. You begin to once again believe God can do anything, and He can use anybody. He can use normal people like you and me. That he when He puts something inside of us, He's going to then power. His power is going to be sufficient to do it, and we have to say yes. But when you read about others that were doing that, you go, well, I can do that too. I don't have to do the thing that they did, but I can do the thing that God has called me to do by faith and take that next step.
So here's Hudson Taylor, kept a journal. Again, he was a missionary in China, just kind of a trailblazer in that time. And he writes, "Our Heavenly Father is a very experienced one. He knows very well that His children wake up with a good appetite every morning. He sustained 3 million Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years. We do not expect He will send 3 million missionaries to China, but if He did, He would have ample means to sustain them all. Depend on it. God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply."
God is the provider. He's the one that's going to power His vision. He provides for the vision, right? You may have heard that provision means for the vision. And so when God gives you a vision, he's going to give you the provision for the vision. He's going to supply what's needed to do it. But we tend to go, well, how's that going to happen, God? How? He says, it's none of your business. I'll take care of it. Right? If he gives you the vision, then he's going to be the one that's responsible to carry it out. You have to do your part, but you can't make it happen. And so we just got to get things in the right order, right? A lot of times we get ahead of God or we stop God because we think, well, I'm going to wait until I understand. And it's like, no, that doesn't work. It doesn't work to get ahead of God either. But, you know, in the right timing with him, we'll find that he's the one that's going to supply all of our needs. Philippians 4:19, this God, the same God who takes care of me, will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, right? All of your needs. Now, I think it's always good to remember it doesn't say all of your greeds, right? It's not just what you want. It's not just the dreams that you're dreaming. It's the thing that he's dreaming together with you. He's going to supply it. He identifies himself in the Old Testament as Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. He's going to take care of his business. There's no doubt about it. So we got to make sure that we understand he's the one that's going to power it. And that should be really comforting, because when he gives you a vision or a dream or a purpose in your heart that's impossible for you to do on your own, then say, well, yeah, God, I guess you're the only one that can do that. And he loves to do that, because then he's the one that gets the glory, right? He's the one that is worthy at the end of the day, because he's the only one that could make it happen. If the dream that you're dreaming is big enough for you to do by yourself, it's probably not God's dream. Because you're the one that can get the glory, because you can do it. God's dream always requires reliance on him. It's always about him. Our lives are about him. John the Baptist said it in this way. It is necessary for him, and he was speaking about Jesus, it's necessary for him to increase and for me to be diminished. And this is a great secret for us when we're talking about vision and dreams and God's purposes in our life. This is about God. This is about his story. This is about his purposes. This is not about self-fulfillment. This is not about me becoming all I can be, as the way the culture describes it, right? This is about me becoming less so he can become greater. Because at the end of the day, when we're less and he's greater, we understand who he really is, and then he gets all the glory, and we just get to go, wow, God, how in the world could you do that? Only you could do that.
Yeah, we live in this tension of where the world, culture, really the whole, our life system is set up to become, achieve, gain accolades, you know, from even the kids. I think it was what started when one of our kids was in kindergarten. It's like all of a sudden they're getting awards for showing up to school. And I'm like, I should be getting those awards. I got him dressed and got him here. No, but you know, but the world is, this whole thing is like become, achieve, accolades. I work in medicine, and in medicine, like how many initials can you get at the end of your name, right? I don't have that many, but there's a few, you know, but it's all this whole thing of like striving and getting there. But in the kingdom, the kingdom says that dreaming is refining and humility and reflecting the glory of God. And so it's just this polar kind of stretch, because if we do accomplish God's dreams, then yeah, he will continue to show up, and your platform will get bigger, and because you're working for the kingdom. And when you impact lives for the kingdom, he is going to expand your, you know, atmosphere and your horizon. But it is this tension of, I want to become something, and he's like, I want you to become less.
Yeah, it really takes us to kind of the second half of this, is that God powers it, but then we're accountable for it. Romans 14:12 says, therefore, each one of us must answer for himself and give a personal account of his own life before God.
That scares me.
Isn't that a scary verse? Isn't that a scary verse? There's a level of accountability that we have. Now, we're not talking about, you know, where you're going to spend your eternal destiny. This is not a heaven or hell question that we're talking about here. This is a thing where God is going to ask each one of us who are called according to his purpose, who are in Christ Jesus. He's going to ask us, what did you do with the things that I gave you? What did you do with the dreams I gave you? What did you do with the gifts I gave you? The talents, the abilities, you know. And we're accountable to that. He's going to actually say, well, why didn't you use that voice that you have to sing? Or why didn't you use that ability you have with words to write or to speak? Why didn't you use that incredible gift that you have with your hands, with woodworking or with working with cars or whatever it is to give me glory? Why did you use it just for you? Why did you hide it or see it as something that was just for you and your family? No, he's going to say, there's actually an account that we're going to give, right? So there's a balance. It's his power. It's his purpose. It's his dream. But we are in this relationship with him that we also have to do our part. We have to show up. We have to take the next step. We have to make sure that we're making a plan along the way. I remember years ago, we were in a church when we were at our old campus. So this has probably been 20 years ago that there was a guest speaker that was speaking that Sunday from South America, and I didn't know him. There was at the end, there was a bunch of people up front for altar call time, and he started to call people out and give some people some prophetic words, speaking God's purposes and dreams for their lives. And so he looked at me and you know, he called me out, which is never a great feeling when somebody calls you out from the stage. And he said God says that you're gonna speak in Spanish in other nations. You're gonna actually communicate fluently and preach the gospel. And I knew in that moment that you go, oh wow, God, you're so awesome! Isn't that fantastic? You know, that's the greatest. I just love the dream that God puts in my heart. And then I go, oh no. Because I know the way that God works, right? The way that God works is not that he's going to just suddenly, that I just go, oh yeah, Lord, do it. Then he just, boom, just drops on me the ability to speak fluently in another language. It's not usually the way it works, right? It usually means I'm going to have to practice. I'm going to have to be diligent. I'm going to have to position myself in a way that his dream can take place in my life. But we tend to do the thing of saying, God gives you a dream, and go, wow, isn't that cool, God? I'll just wait for you to do that. Yeah, Lord, no, I'm willing. Go right ahead. I'll watch you work. And he goes, who do you think you are? He says, this is a process that we're engaged in. This is a relationship that we're engaged in. So I knew at that moment that required me then I'm going to have to be diligent in language acquisition. If I'm going to actually speak like that, then I'm going to have to do my part. I'm going to have to position. Now, I can't make it happen. I can't force it to happen, but I can keep it from happening by not being faithful and not being accountable for the thing that God puts in my heart. And God has put some things in your heart, right? He's put some things in your heart for your family and for your future and for maybe a business idea, but you're going to have to do your part. You're going to have to step into it. You're going to have to be faithful with what he has given you. You're going to have to walk through that process.
Yep.
So what has God put on your heart? What's God put on your heart? And where, you know, where is he calling you to be faithful? Where is he calling you out? To take that next step. I mean, maybe for some of us here this morning, it's just maybe your first step is simply saying, God, what will you dream with me? Will you show me your dream? Maybe in your experience, you've never really looked through that lens before. You never understood that God actually wants to give you a dream and a purpose. And you know that God actually, he created you uniquely with all your gifts and all your talents. He decided where you were going to be born, who your parents were going to be, when you're going to be, all those things. All that was a sovereign decision that the Lord made from the foundations of the earth. And then he set you up to do the things that he has for you. He's inviting us in to living the purposes that he has, but he's waiting for us to ask him for his dreams. To ask him, Lord, what do you have to say about this? What do you have to say about my life, my relationships, my work, my education, my future, my ministry, my purposes? What do you have for me, Lord? So maybe that's your first step, is just saying, Lord, would you help me to hear the dreams that you have? And maybe for you it's a matter of taking the step that you know you need to take. He has given you a dream. Maybe you put it on a shelf, you've kind of left it to the side, you've forgotten about it for a long time, you've given up on it because you tried maybe and it didn't work, or you were the ones that you kind of lost the dream because someone squashed it, they said something, or you experienced something and you said, nah, I guess that's not from the Lord, and it's sitting there, and what you need to do is you need to pick it back up and you need to take the step. And it might be a step of faith, it might be a step of stretch, a step that takes you out of your comfort zone. Some of you do need to go back to school. Some of you do need to get into a class. Some of you do need to reach out to people that you're uncomfortable reaching out to. Make that phone call or make that move that you know that God's calling you to do, but you got so much self-doubt and you're letting your doubts counsel you and you're letting your fear speak to you and you're denying God's purposes in your life because you're unwilling to just be obedient. So what if you take a step and you fail? God specializes in picking people back up because they're the people that recognize it's you, God, that makes it happen. It's not me. Would you stand to your feet and let us pray for you? Just bow your head if you would and close your eyes. And we just want to pray for people, a couple different categories. I mentioned the first one is simply this, that you're not even sure that you have God's dream. Maybe you've never asked him, Lord, reveal your dream to me. Or maybe you're just uncertain, Lord, God, what do you want to dream? And you just want to reach out for that today, and you're just inviting the Lord to begin to speak into your life. If that's you, just raise your hand. And just raise your hand to say, Lord, I'm inviting you to speak into my life. I'm inviting you to breathe a fresh new dream into me, fresh purposes in my life. Lord Jesus, for every hand that's raised, we're just reaching out to you. We're asking you, Jesus, who is the dream giver, you, Father God, who from the very foundations of the earth have created us. Lord, we're asking that you would breathe by your Holy Spirit a fresh breath. Would you help us to dream your dreams? Would you open our ears to hear you? Would you help us turn off all the other noise, all the other voices, all the other experiences, all the other things that would seek to steal and kill and rob the dreams that you have for us? Would you silence those voices, Lord? And would you help us to receive your purposes? And Lord, I just speak by faith right now that there's new purposes that are being spoken to your people. New dreams for new ideas and inventions and businesses and books and novels and creative things and new dreams for relationships to be restored and marriages to happen in a fresh way and for relationships with kids to come back. Dreams, Lord, for purposes of ministry, changing communities, changing even entire nations. Would you breathe, Lord God, your purposes into our lives? Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Put your hands down. I'm going to pray for another group, that group that needs to take a step, and you know you need to take a step, but you've been afraid. You've been hesitant. You've been holding yourself back. And maybe it's a dream that you have shelved and you know you need to pick it back up again. Would you just raise your hand? We want to pray for you. And you know I'm called to take that next step. Maybe would you pray for them?
Father, we just thank you. Lord, we thank you for this beckoning invitation to respond to the things that you've placed on our heart, God. We just choose today to set a time alone aside for you, Father, to get back into the wrestle with you, Lord, to begin to become more identified with who you call us as your son and your daughter. God, we just ask for braveness and boldness, for open ears, God, that we would hear properly what you're asking us to do, and then that we would be bold and brave and step out in obedience, knowing that you are not a God who turns your back upon us. You are not a God who allows us just to fall through the cracks. You are a God who strengthens those who stand upon your word. So we just ask for that today. We thank you, Father, that the things that you have promised will come to pass when we show up and we partner with you, Lord. And so we just submit and surrender our paths to you, knowing that when we trust you, God, you provide everything perfectly, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. One last prayer, if you would, and I'm going to invite the prayer teams to come up right now as we're doing this. Just put your hands out like this. Maybe you're uncomfortable doing that. Everybody's in the house, so it's okay. Just put your hands like this, and just begin to, in your heart, just say, Lord, would you fill my cup? Would you fill my heart? Would you fill my life? Would you fill, Lord Jesus, each one of us with your purposes and your plans and your destiny? Lord, we don't want to be out of alignment. We don't want to lose what you have for us. And so I just pray right now, Lord, that you would fill with each hand, each pair of hands that's reaching out to you, that you would fill them, Lord Jesus, to overflowing, that you would give each one a new spark of life, a new spark of promise. Thank you, God, that you're not done with us. Thank you, Lord, that you haven't forgotten us. Thank you, Lord, that you haven't written us off, but you're still at work. You're still inviting us in. You're still working with us. And so, Lord, I just pray that you'd give each one here the faith to step into what you have. The faith, God, to say yes to you. Help us to say yes to you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed the message, and we hope to see you on a Sunday at 9 or 11 a.m. Visit us online at kchamford.com, and if you want to support our ministry, click Give. Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.